Mark and Brett and having a lot of fun. All right, we're going to go back to the videos on their page. Just click under their name, Mark and Brett, and we're in More Videos, the third video down, comparing conventional aerial objects and clear UFOs. This is very helpful. This is very smart what you did with this, Mark. So I'm going to play this right now.
And I thank my brother for transferring them from VHS here today.
All right, first up, what we see is the page title, Three Conventional Aerial Objects for Comparison. And the first thing we see is a turboprop airliner. What would this be, Brett? It looks like something you might be quite familiar with.
Yeah, that's a Dash 8-400.
And that's one of the planes that you fly, right?
Yeah, Dash 8, yeah. It's a common type rating, except that we only had 100s, 200s, and 300s. That one's slightly longer than ones I was flying.
All right. Second image up there is actually a balloon with a little device suspended underneath it, which is also very instructive to watch. Several balloons with strings on them is what it is, I see now. Third one up is a helicopter. And from a distance, it looks like a black dot moving. When you zoom in, there you go. And then we have a screen that says UFOs, and there's just no way to mistake them. They're white on a blue sky, and the shape is, this first one looks like an X almost, or a plus sign. Take it away.
It's an interesting
Tell
one.
Us. Yeah. It's got actually more. When you get close on it, it's got a horizontal piece.
Yes.
And then it's got, that's a very complicated image.
It is. It's very strange.
All right. Here's the slow motion of it. And it's got a lot of facets. These aren't Mylar balloons taped together, clearly. It goes up and out of frame. Does that suggest that it went up and disappeared?
Yes, that one actually, it hovered there for a while, and then it went straight up.
Wow.
And for people that live in Seattle, I was just standing across the street from the Cinerama Theater on 4th Avenue downtown when I took that.
Very good. All right, the next one is kind of the traditional white dot, daylight, again, for those of you looking. And then we'll move to a blue sky with another object. These are very strange objects. They're not discs. They're not cigars. They're not triangles.
They're quite different than, you know, anything.
two segments, clearly, horizontally laid out, as it were, and very interesting. All right, but this is really good to watch. For people who say, nah, just an airplane. Nah, just a helicopter. Okay, good job. All right, next one up, two daylight UFOs against bright blue skies. That's the fourth one. And let's see what this one is. Oh, this is a close-up, again, of looks like something like we just saw. Looks like a horizontal wing with made of two round objects on either side of a central body, which has some strange extrusions on it as well.
Yeah. Does that look like the same? I'm not looking at it right now, but I think that might
be the
same
thing. It
does
look like the same one, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's really weird. Now, I've seen enough Mylar balloon stuff. I'm sure you have seen them, too.
Oh, yeah.
These are not Mylar balloons.
No, they're clearly not.
Now, here's another one that is, it starts out as what appears to be just a horizontal, almost like a disc.
Yeah.
And yet it's got flat sides. So very good. You can look at this and good perspectives. Is that a horizontal one? Black on the top, black on the bottom, and does it have a potential white row of white exposed horizontally? Or is that just a part of the digital photography?
You know, I'm not 100% sure without looking at it right now.
Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
That's the one that looks like a submarine. It looks like that's that crazy one that actually goes straight up.
That's the one that went straight up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite sightings, partly because it goes straight up, and oftentimes when I'm filming a UFO, they're not doing anything terribly interesting, but that one took off and went straight up, which I thought was really cool.
And the doubters would say, nah, he just moved the camera, pointed it down.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But that's okay. You know, you're all welcome to do that. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right, good video. This is two objects, blue sky. And unusual. All right, the next video, small UFO appears and then vanishes in the blue sky.
Oh, can I set that one up just a little bit?
You bet.
That one doesn't look like much, but actually when I first saw it, it was larger, and it grew increasingly small until it became just like a point and then disappeared. But it was actually quite a bit larger when I first saw it. Unfortunately, I couldn't get the camera up in time to film it when it was bigger, but it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it just disappeared.
There's a round, was that a parking structure or something? A round building there.
Yeah, I think that's the
hotel?
Channel 4 news building.
Oh, okay. All right.
The backside of it.
Gotcha. So we watch the sky, and I'm trying to pick up the object now. There it is. It's dark, and it appears to be, it's not stable. It seems to be rotating a little bit.
Yeah, it's very small there compared to how it was when I first saw it.
So it was, when you first saw it, if it was bigger than that, it must have been, I mean, with the naked eye, you could pick that up easily.
Yeah, it actually was, I'm almost, it sounds crazy to say, but it seemed like it was the size of a Volkswagen when I first saw it, and then very quickly, as soon as my eyes trained on it, it started diminishing in size rapidly. Yeah. And by the time I got the camera up, it was just kind of a dot, you know.
It just went away. I see. It went off in the distance and faded away. Okay. All right. The last video, night UFO. Camera sees what the eye did not. Who wants to set that up?
Yeah, and if I may set that one up.
Sure.
That one, it was nighttime, and I looked out the window, and I saw a small orange sphere just to the left of a chimney on an apartment building across the parking lot from me. And I'm on the sixth floor, so I'm looking out. And I see this small round orange globe. And so I take my video camera out and film it. And then I played it back to see if I got it. And nothing showed up on camera at all. The little round sphere didn't show up, but I could see it with my eyes. So then I went into the other room, and the other window in my bedroom, and opened it up and tried to film the little orange sphere again. And then when I was done, I played it back, and no orange sphere, but instead I got the footage that you see there, which I couldn't see with my naked eye at all.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, none of that was visible to the naked eye. None of what you see in this...
Now, some might say, what we have clearly is a black night sky, and there are two large, round lights, or white, iridescent objects, and a dimmer object between the two of them. And off to the left, in the background, we don't know how much of a background, there's a little faint object which moves directly horizontal past the two white larger lights moving from left to right. You'll see it as you play the video. It moves behind it. It glows a little bit as it approaches, and then it passes off to the right, and it does appear to be flashing as it moves further away. So, very interesting.
And none of that, there was nothing like that visible to the naked eye, but the camera caught whatever that was.
Do you have an infrared lens?
No, I just used regular, I think I used the nighttime setting.
Night shot,
the night shot setting, but it had no infrared on it.
That's wild, because that little dot, when it passes the two larger white lights, it becomes much more active, but then when you go back to the two white lights with the dimmer, littler light between them, you see, now what? Another light to the left of the large light on the left. So there are four lights there now.
Mm-hmm, and the two white lights appeared to be stationary, and the other little objects seemed to be moving about.
Who knows how much bigger the actual craft might have been above and beyond the range of the lights that we see. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. There's no perspective there to give us a clue.
That's a very interesting sighting. He said, all of your sightings are unique. They're not textbook.
Which is one of the reasons I was a little hesitant years ago to show them or talk about them, because they didn't really fit, you know, the
Got
typical
it.
Flying saucer, which I'd love to see, too.
Right.
They were just weird, you know, like very weird.
Very good. All right. Now, let's go back to Brett. And I think these are your photos, aren't they, Brett? Whose photos are these? These are the daytime cloud formations.
Yeah.
Are those yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the flight deck.
Now, you got, when you say flight deck, we're talking about cockpit?
Uh-huh, that's correct, yeah.
Okay. All right, so these are taken by an airline pilot out the front window of the aircraft. Tell us what we're looking at here. Now, you can't see them. The first one is, I'll just describe it to you. The fourth one has the lines and explanations drawn on it, but the first one is the darker blue background, and the cloud in the front section is clearly unusual. Now, some might say that these are HARP-formed clouds. EMF is doing this. And I've seen EMF. If you do a search for HARP, H-A-A-R-P, HARP clouds, you'll see all manner of unusual cloud formations that are clearly being created with electromagnetic fields, energy. They're not normal. This is not normal either. It's got a lot of right angles and strange shapes in it. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, well, we were blasting off Charlotte Douglas Airport in daytime. I remember we were northbound, so we launched off their, at the time, not their left runway, it's their center runway now. Launched off the center runway, you know, we were talking ATC approach control, you know, fairly busy taking, you know, vectors from ATC. And we were in a turn, and I looked up and saw these clouds, you know, because we were climbing pretty good, so the nose was up. And then we were in a bank, and I looked up and I saw, you know, what it appeared to me to be geometry. And of course it's completely unnatural to see that, you know.
Right. Agreed. Sure.
So and I was like, I had my camera, within reach. Of course I had to, you know, unlock it, get the camera, you know, up and running. It takes a few seconds. And then I just started snapping pictures. I didn't have time to look at what I was, you know, seeing. I just grabbed pictures of it so I could study it later.
Look at the bottom of that image, and then you'll see below the large image an enlargement of the bottom area of that cloud. Look at the right angles, 90-degree turns, straight angles. casting a shadow of some kind. Looks like a darkness anyway. Looks like almost a pack of cigarettes, but it's not. And then you've got a triangle above that, above what looked like almost two square eyes, and then another triangle where the nose would be if it was a face. That's really, you could have a lot of fun with that for a long time. Wild.
Oh yeah, yeah. I sat with it quite a while. I sent it to a couple of friends, to one of my friends, Deborah, who has assisted me more than once with various different things, including channeling, the Federation. But, she looked that over, and she was one that brought it to my attention that it appeared to be, I don't see, you know, I don't have your website in front of me. I don't know if you have that picture right side up or not, the one that I drew on, but basically there should be a what appears to be a face on the left side of the picture.
A profile.
There should be, a profile of a face. Basically, with the face tilted back slightly.
The picture's upside down.
Yeah, flip that around if you can.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but the picture, yeah, in it, across from the face, there would be an animal.
Okay, so it looks like it's not a word. What is it? Is that a word? What am I looking at? Looks like N. You've drawn a number of N's, it looks like.
Oh, no, that's just a scribble. I scribbled where, basically to me, you have a face there with the face has a crown around its forehead. And I just scribbled the black ink where the crown would be.
Oh, so the picture is correct. Okay. Under the scribble, there's an eye.
That's right? The eye, yeah.
Okay. All right. So the picture is right side up. Look at the scribbles.
Okay,
it looks like the letter N's. That's off to your left. There's a circle underneath it, an oval. That's an eye. And then there appears to be a nose and a mouth and a chin. And then back at the rear of the jawline, you've got those geometric shapes, and then there's
Looks like a Star of David.
It looks like
roughly.
It does. It does.
Yeah, and then if you go down further, you have those two circles that intersect each other. Those two geometries, which you know represent they represent the divine male, divine female. The intersect point is the creative energy that's created when you pull those two opposites together.
Right. Well, you can go back to the unenhanced picture, which is unfortunately one away. I'll move this tomorrow. And you can see the raw capture, and then you can see how Brett has interpreted it with the lines and drawing. You can do what you want with it. It's the idea is that this is not a normal cloud, period. Whether it's a harp formation or something else, I don't know. The one that has a multiple horizontal, wavy, clear, dark lines in the cloud formation in the center, what about that one?
Okay, that was shot out of my side window.
Uh-huh.
So the one was up above out of the front window, the other was out of my side window, and I realized that formation was not natural either, so I shot a picture of it too.
Right.
And so piecing this all together, this took a little bit of time, but it came at a time, this sighting came, of these clouds came at a time when I was going through trying to sort out my journey a little bit in understanding reality, and we can get to that in a little bit, but this cloud formation actually was like a message, a very timely message for me. And
what's your co-pilot have to say about did you point this stuff out to him?
I don't think we even talked about it.
Probably the
co-pilots
better.
That I've had, yeah, a lot of times they got used to seeing me snap pictures. You know, it's different people. You know, I would snap pictures a lot of things.
The word got out. People, okay.
The word gets out. You know, some people are interested, some people aren't.
I see. Very good. Okay. All right.
What's going on here for me with that is that basically you have the face, which is tipped back, and you have a human heart laying across the face. So the curved object is basically a heart.
Huh.
On the across from the face, you have a deer, which is a totem, a deer. And the deer is facing the man who has his head tipped back with a heart resting on his face.
So those are antlers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know... No, the part that's sort of, it's, you're looking at a profile, the left side of a deer's head. You got his eye, his long nose, and it's facing right at the chest of the man that's standing there with
his... I see. Okay. It could also be antlers.
There's a lot of different ways you could look at it.
Right.
But this is essentially what I got. And then of course the side window picture was a man laying there in waveform with his head missing.
Now, it's a feeling we all have from time to time.
Well, yeah, and essentially the message for me at the time with this was you know, when you break it all down, what it boiled down, it's a very powerful message, but it is very simple. But it's not that easy. Basically what it told me was that, Brett, you need to get out of your head and you need to get into your heart and you need to place your heart above your head, because the journey that you're on to go where you want to go, the only way you're going to get there is to get your head out of the way.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish up. Yeah.
Well, I like to reason a lot of things, but I'm a Gemini and I tend to get stuck in my head a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I have some very dear friends of mine that are very much in their heart. And although I can get to my heart too, but I get stuck trying to figure everything out in a linear mm-hmm. fashion, when really what I need to do is sit down and feel my way through it.
Well, these are good words of wisdom for a lot of reasons. We do get in the way of our heart. Many people feel that the heart is the real spiritual brain of the body anyhow, and that the brain is just a computer, and people live in that computer when they ought to be living in their heart. And so your point is well taken.
Exactly right.
Okay. All right. And the next picture. We got a bright sun flare and a lavender disc shape with a white dot in it. And I'm going to take a break, so when we come back, we'll see what Brett has to say about that one as we continue with Mark and Brett, so don't go away. Next photo up, if you just joined us, go to Guests at Rents News and look on the left-hand side for Mark and Brett. Click on the link below their name and you'll pull up a whole archive of their images and their videos, a lot of things. All right, we're looking at photo number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a bright sun with a lavender, looks like lens flare. And a white dot in it. What is it? Am I even looking at the right thing? Brett, what am I looking at?
Yes, you are. There's a story that goes around this picture, that goes to this picture. And I was, and this was shot in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Around Monticello. Not too far from, there's a tavern up there, and there's a graveyard. And this was actually, I shot this in a graveyard. And
from a graveyard looking up. Did you go? You must have gone to Monticello. Did you go in?
No, we didn't. No, it was just up in that area, because there's a really nice, there's a nice park there, and it was a super pretty day.
Mm-hmm. You got to go into Monticello. Have you been in Monticello?
Oh, I have, yeah, but it's been years now. I
haven't been.
Done a lot.
I wished I could. Oh no, I don't travel. But I've seen pictures, and the yellow. This Jefferson was amazing. He painted the dining room yellow, and it's an extraordinary yellow. It has been termed Monticello yellow, and I forget the high-end paint company that has it patented. But it's a blazing yellow, and that's a hard color to work with. But that's an amazing residence.
Oh yeah, it's a pretty in a pretty spot too, where it's on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
all right.
Area.
Tell us more. What's this picture about? From a graveyard in the daytime. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm with the girl I'm dating at the time, and her name's Heather, and she.
Wait, I got to write all these down. There's too many of them. Hold on.
Yeah,
Heather.
All right.
You airline pilots. All right. Go ahead. Right? I'm just kidding you. All right.
Marriage is tricky.
Well, that's the truest statement we've heard all day.
Uh-huh. Oh man, it's I'm telling you the truth. We pulled into this graveyard. She wanted to walk around, and so we pulled in there. And it was so pretty out, and I think I had come off from a trip, and this was the next day, so I was actually pretty fatigued still. And the sun was feeling really good, and the clouds were pretty. And I just laid down in some grass, and she wanted some quiet time. So she kind of wandered off, and she sat down on a bench not too far from where I was sort of just laying it down in the grass. And I was looking at these pretty cloud formations. I probably laid down there for 15 minutes or so. At some point I decided to start snapping some pictures because the clouds were so pretty. And I didn't really think too much about all that. I snapped some pictures, and after 15 minutes or so, I got up, and Heather wasn't anywhere to be seen. So I started walking around, and I thought, well, she's wandering around. It's not a huge graveyard, but it's very hilly. And so I started walking around, and I went all the way to the other end of the grave. I couldn't find Heather anywhere, nowhere to be found anywhere. And then I hopped in the car and started driving around a little bit in the graveyard to see if I could find her, nowhere to be found. So I looked for her for a while. Finally, I brought my car back to more or less the spot that I had parked it originally, so that in case she came back, she'd find it. And
in case she came back, she literally was vanished.
She literally vanished. I could not find her. And I came back, and then when I went back to the area that I started the search from,
right,
there she was sitting on the bench that I had walked right by.
Aww.
And I asked her, I said, I've been looking all over for you. And she says, well, I've been right here.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me she never left the bench.
She never left the bench, right.
Wow. Wow.
But then she said something really strange happened to her, and she said, and she was, we can get into talking about her a little bit because she's pretty interesting, but she was a very psychic gal, but she said that she was sitting there meditating, and she asked the Supreme Lord to show her who she really is. And she said that after she did that and sat there for a while, she felt like she went right out into outer space.
And sounds like she did.
Yeah, she said that she went up and she became aware of a vastly larger version of herself when she did that.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know how to explain it. She went interdimensional. Something happened to her. But either way, and that's kind of the end of that story until I go back to work, and I don't even look at the pictures that I've taken. And I go back to work a day or two later, and she ends up texting me that morning and says, there's something very special in your camera. Look at the pictures that you took.
And she had not seen the pictures.
No, she had not seen the pictures. But she did this kind of thing all the time. So this was not that
abnormal. Psychic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was highly psychic. When she was tuned, she wasn't always tuned, but when she was, oh, my goodness. But anyway, so she said that, and I started looking at these pictures, and the picture that I found was the picture that I posted there for y'all. And in that picture, I believe what we actually have a picture of is a Merkaba, which is what human beings like Babaji and the advanced yogis travel, they literally turn into a ball of light when they travel. And I literally believe that whatever happened with Heather, we literally caught her Merkaba in that picture.
Who's to say you didn't? It's very interesting. I've not seen a lens flare ever like that. There's a perfect dot right in the center of that very attractive oval, almost a disc shape, and the color is very pretty. But even more than that, look below at those clouds. Now, I don't know. You're a professional airline captain. Do you see clouds like that very often? They look like torn pieces of tissue. You know, white tissue that you tear up in a million pieces and throw it. They don't look like normal clouds to me at all. They're very unusual.
Well, they're very unusual, which is why I was so thrilled to just lay down and look at these clouds. If you look at the clouds in the lower right-hand corner of that picture, this is meaningful to me because Heather is what I call a dragon. She's a dragon bloodline.
Well, there's the dragon.
RH negative. Yeah, and there's the dragon. Do you see it in the picture?
Sure. Of course.
Yeah, the dragon, the Merkaba. Heather disappears for 20 minutes, nowhere to be found. Her physical body literally disappeared. She just went away. It's crazy.
Look at the picture of the far right cloud at the top of the branches. That is wild. Look at that. It appears to be a wing with flared points on it. It's pointing to the right, if it's pointing. And look at the solid line on the top of it. That's just not normal. It's not a normal cloud. Look at the bottom of it. A squiggly tail moving off to the right. This is the right picture of the cloud, the little cloud. Look at that. Look at that cloud. Look at the dragon head. Okay. Look below the dragon at what trails off we could call the dragon's neck, if we want. And then below that, there's a very strange shape. You see it? It's not the bottom four clouds that are in a row. It's between the dragon's head, its neck, and that bottom row of clouds. It looks like a turtle almost. Turtle shape with what is that? An ice pick sticking out the right side of it? Something. There's a bar and then there's a cross piece on it. That's just bizarre. Those are bizarre shapes. I've never seen clouds like that in my life.
Well, what was so interesting is that the clouds that I captured in that particular picture. But there was lots of clouds when I was laying down that looked very similar to that going by. And
that's quite a show.
It was actually amazing. Yeah. And then to have this weird event with her disappearing and then seeing that picture of the Merkaba and then her psychically telling me that I need to look in my camera at those pictures. I mean, the whole thing. So that's kind of the story. But
she verbally told you. From a psychic mm-hmm. perspective, to look in your camera, right?
Yes.
She told you, right. All right. Now, I get it. This is very unusual, very unusual. She morphed out of her physical location into something else, it sounds like, and then returned.
It was so strange, yeah. And I guess the reason, you know, I wanted to throw that in there is just because, this whole UFO journey that we've been on for all these decades and our own personal spiritual journeys. And the one thing that becomes very clear in time when you start journeying consciously and paying attention to what's going on around you is that you realize that you're surrounded by mystery constantly. And mystery and the miraculous become the everyday events.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never seen little bits of clouds look like that before. I'm the one on the far right is very intriguing. It's pointing in the opposite direction if you're thinking aerodynamically. Look at how the wing is flared up. Perfectly flat on the top. Tapered ends. A tail down below? I don't know, but that is little tiny shapes here and there. Very odd.
Yeah, it was quite remarkable.
And that is a terrific picture. All right, let's move on. Next.
What else?
We have handprints of an ET visitor.
Oh, yes. Those are my my handprints.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
do you remember
Mark's handprint? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember from, I think it was the first show we did, where I had on the end of my October 98 tape, I got what appeared, in frame by framing the video footage, I got what appeared to be a gray ET holding his hand up.
Right.
With three fingers.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so somewhat later, I got that handprint. I think I have two handprints there, but the one that's that has three fingers that seem to be of equal length is the one that is most impressive to me, because it has the three fingers of equal length. Like, human fingers aren't of equal length, and these are. And it's got kind of a narrow palm, which the picture of the ET seemed to have kind of a narrow palm, too.
Right.
Also, this hand is considerably smaller than my hand. And I think on that chart on the side, on the right-hand side.
You're breaking up a little bit. We lost you after you said right-hand side. Okay.
Yeah.
There he is. You're back. Mark, we lost you after you said on the right-hand side.
Oh, yes. On the right-hand side of that picture is a little measurement thing that shows my hand being 7 1/4 inches in length, and the hand on the window is 5 1/2 inches. So
okay, that's the first. That's the first big image, not the small image. All right, this is the larger image with the gold-colored door frame.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's the image of what appears to me to be an alien hand that's similar to the picture I have of the little guy.
Inside or outside the glass?
This is on the inside of the glass.
I assume you have not cleaned the glass.
Well, I've moved from that location a couple years ago, but I left it up there a long time before I cleaned it,
mm-hmm.
just because, you know, so I could marvel at it.
Very good. All right, now the enlarged other picture, the second picture of a hand.
Oh, yeah, that, let's see, let me pull
that's
that
a
one
kind
up
of
here.
A, there's a window in the background.
Yeah, that's an apartment across from me.
Now,
outside.
Is that somebody in the window?
You know, I don't know if that's somebody or a bundle of something.
It's not a smudge on the glass, it's something in the apartment.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the thumb. That's what I believe to be a thumb.
Ah,
like he had the thumb.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the end segment of the thumb.
Perfect.
Yeah. And this hand, although it doesn't look as alien as the other hand, you know, looks more human, but it's got kind of a bent finger, that middle finger's bent. And the only thing that made me think this hand is was something unusual was that, again, it was smaller, considerably smaller than my hand, and nobody had been up in my room that would have accounted for that handprint. But I still think the first handprint is the more interesting one.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah, those three fingertips are... they're just about dead on even at their extended length. Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite unusual. And again, having that possible picture of an ET, I can't think of what else it is, holding his hand up towards the camera
right.
at the end of my Leave Him tape,
right.
also looks like, you know, a lot like this handprint.
Right. Okay. Very good. And if you want to see that... E.T. holding up his hand, simply scroll down from that that picture with the gold door frames and the window and the light, the reflection. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, seven, eight, nine pictures. You'll see a little black and white picture, little small one. And it looks like an ET head on the right. See the two eyes, almond shaped. And then it looks like possibly an ET hand being held up in front of, partially in front of the eye toward the camera. I wouldn't know how else to interpret that.
Yeah, that, I mean, to me, that was the obvious. And it was extremely startling as I was frame by framing the video when I found that a couple frames with that on there.
Only a couple frames?
Yeah, just a couple frames. And
there are 35 frames per second or thereabouts. So.
Yeah, and then considering what happened down there behind my building where it appears I was knocked out and then to get that little picture of an ET on the end of that footage.
Whoa, was it the same footage where you went to the ground?
Yeah, the same, but the extended version of that, what happens after I wake back up and get back up on my feet,
right.
it looks like I'm staggering around and the camera is kind of flailing in my right hand and it's kind of just filming all kinds of stuff. And but for some, because of what appeared to have happened to me down there, I thought it'd be interesting to frame by frame, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I found some interesting stuff. The most interesting was that possible, well, gray alien. There were also some other odd lighting effects and things that I can't account for.
Only, in other words, that camera was recording in daylight.
Yes, it was.
And there are only two or three frames of this black and white image.
Yeah, and in fact, I believe only two frames, actually.
And were they? Were there any movement from frame to frame in terms of the fixed position of the hand, or was it identical?
Well, it, you know, if I remember right here, see if I can.
You know what my question is, right?
Yeah, I sure do. I think if I remember right, I don't have them in front of me, but I think the one frame shows just the head without the hand, and then the next frame shows the head with the hand up.
Let's find that.
I'll find that. You know, I know I have that here somewhere, but I can get that to you.
Yeah, I'll add it to the picture. Two frames out of 35 frames that otherwise should be broad daylight outside pop up like this.
Right.
No coincidences. That's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, that was probably one of my most exciting moments when I found that. And
good job. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Very good.
I like the way you both are so gentlemanly and honest about presenting all this. You're just telling it straight, and
I think everybody
can hear that. There's no pretense.
No other way to do it.
Yeah. No, no.
Either you do it like that, or you don't do it at all.
Well, very good. Some people wouldn't adhere to that, but you did it, and you're saying it just right. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Now we've got another picture of a edge of a brick building, and what do we got here? Brick building with two objects to the left of the vertical bricks. There's a vertical wall of bricks, a corner of a building, it looks like. And to the left of that are two objects in a gray-blue sky. And then there's a close-up. It looks like a bell-shaped object, an enlargement at the bottom of the page. And the text says, a similar design, this UFO was photographed in Australia in the late 1960s.
Oh, yeah, that's that was put together... That composite picture is put together by a friend of mine named Joe way back when I showed him. He was the only friend I had that was receptive to this whole thing. And he put that picture together for me. The small object in the background with the brick area, chimney, I think.
Chimney. Okay.
That's a UFO that I videotaped. And then the larger insert picture is a picture from the 1960s of a UFO that somebody took.
What is the other UFO to the left of the one nearest the chimney? There are arrows pointing to both of them. Two views of the aerial vehicle from the video, and I guess it's just two different views taken from the video.
So that's two different views of the same object.
Okay, that's an insert also of the same object. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Nice work. Clearly shiny metal of some kind.
So. Right, that's one of the more metallic type of...
It's not Mylar balloons, no.
Right.
Whatever it is. And the one in Australia back in the 60s.
A
perfect bell. Looks rather like some of the German designs from World War II.
That's a pretty good picture.
It is.
And Joe put that together for me. I'm sure I've read about that case or that photograph at some time in the past, but I forgot the story behind the Australian one.
I put together a number of black and white photographs, and somehow somebody got a little piece of black and white film of what looks like a German UFO flying over a runway. And it's
really
taken above and behind the flying disc, which is rotating as it moves.
Wow.
And I will send you, I'll send it to Frank. He can send it to you.
Oh, I'd love to see that, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Brett and I would both love to see that.
For all of you, if you want to see this compendium I put together, a lot of photographs from the 1930s and 40s. Some of them are probably bogus, but you know what they say, it only takes one.
Well, that's right, yeah. In the field of ufology, there's all kinds of things, but I think a lot of us are able to be pretty discerning.
Yeah, I think you'll like this footage, and the video opens with this actual movie footage. I don't know where somebody got it, but it's probably about an 18-inch strip of old footage that somebody got, and I think that they released it. I think it's the real deal.
Well, I sure love to see that, yeah.
Oh, you will tonight. Here, if you do a search on my site, it says search our huge archives at Rents News, and just type in, you can do this during the break. Just go to the left side. It's up in near the top. It's right below Friday Guests. It's right below your names. It says search our huge archives. Type in German flying saucers.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And the video will come up. And you look at that and tell me if you don't think that there's a fair chance that is the real deal. It's amazing.
Right, I'll try to do that.
German flying saucers on a search, our huge archives at Rents, and we will be right back.